Dearly beloved in Christ, today I wanted to speak about a certain power that everyone has. It can be a great tool to help others, and it can also utterly destroy their lives. I'm talking about the power of influence. And this power is especially strong toward those who look up to us. If you are parents, your everyday actions are influencing your children 24/7. We must be very careful not to scandalize those who look up to us. As our Lord tells us, if we scandalize a child, it were better for us to have a millstone hung around our neck and be thrown into the sea. Jesus gives us this strong warning in order to impress upon our minds the necessity of giving good example and leading a pious life so that we don't influence others in a negative way. We all have the ability to help our peers and those under our charge, or possibly to cause them great spiritual harm, whether or not we desire to do so. You might be tempted to think that you don't influence anybody. You might think, nobody looks up to me. I'm not in charge of anyone. Therefore, I don't have an obligation to make sure that those people aren't scandalized by my behavior. And while it is true that some possess more influence or charisma than others, it is a mistake to make that we can excuse ourselves from leading a pious life because we think that no one looks up to us. People are extremely observant of each other's actions. It's just how we are, especially if we greatly respect that other person. And influence is very powerful and very subtle. Many times we don't even realize that we are changing our lives based on those whom we've met or what we've seen them do. Again, the power of influence is tremendous, but we know that our good example is one of the best and most impactful ways to help others. By our good example, we can persuade others to convert from a pagan religion. We can help them to change their wayward lives, no matter how far they have sunk. We can prove to a despairing soul that virtue and saintliness is possible. We can even help someone to be academically successful by good example. In fact, it would be nearly impossible to help someone if we told them to do the right thing and then proceeded to do the opposite. The best part about good example is that although while good acts and leading a holy life are necessary for ourselves in order to help those other people as well, the best part is that we don't even need to be with those people for very long, to have spent long hours with them, talking to them, to help them in a big and impactful way. Because sometimes the simplest act of kindness or piety is enough to spark that fire in their souls, to initiate a change, to awaken the whispering of their conscience that says, isn't it time that you gave up this life of self-gratification and became more like that person? Diligent, holy, and inspiring. Our Lord tells us of an apropos parable, namely the parable of the weeds sown into the field by an enemy who came upon a farmer's crops. By night, the enemy cast weeds into the field, and when the seeds sprouted, the workers did not know that there were also weeds among the wheat. But as they started to grow, the gospel tells us that it became obvious to the workers that there was an abundance of weeds among the crop. And they went to their master and said, "Didn't you sow good seed into your crop?" But then the master saw the weeds, and he said, "An enemy hath done this." And he had them wait until both had grown up, and then had the workers remove the weeds and cast them out while the wheat was gathered into his barn. In chapter 13, verse 36 of St. Matthew, the apostles asked Jesus to explain the parable of the weeds. And he said, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom of God, the weeds, the sons of the wicked one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. But the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered up and burnt with fire, so will it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all scandals and those who work iniquity, and he will cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the just shall shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this is Christ's second parable of the weeds, by which he tacitly rebukes the scribes and the Pharisees who sowed the bad seed of their false accusations over the seed of the word of God. Cornelius a Lapide says that the children of the kingdom are the faithful, righteous, and persevering, those persevering in justice, and therefore elected by God to be heirs of the kingdom of heaven. These are the sons of the heavenly Father, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the weeds, the wicked one, he says, these may also denote all the wicked in the church, or those who are Catholics. For all wicked persons, by their evil life, can hurt the faithful and the church. So we understand from this that the field in which we live, which is the world, will have the wheat of good Christians and the weeds of the iniquitous. The wheat are good Catholics who seek to advance in virtue and attain perfection. But the bad seed are those who scandalize others by their tepidity and irregularity of life. They prevent good from happening, and they even draw those who are weak into disorder. But we can glean other reflections from this parable. The first reflection would be, if you are in charge of others, then you should not close your eyes to their faults and irregularities. One might be tempted to think that they are just small faults, but as with the weeds, so with our bad habits. As the weeds grow, they become harder to conquer and to root up. The second reflection would be, if we are not responsible for anyone in particular, we can see that weeds are growing up about us, we should not shun those people, so to speak, and we should rather pray for them and try to help them. The weeds in this analogy are those who are a bad influence on others and seek to draw them away from good morals, but they can still be converted and change their ways. Here we might recall the parable of the prodigal son, a wayward young man who left his family and his father's house to live a life of debauchery. But he soon repented after he had squandered his father's inheritance and came to realize that even the lowest servants in his father's house were better off than he was. And so he returned to his father's house, and the father rejoiced greatly over his return, embracing him and throwing a party even to celebrate his return. The third reflection is that we should look after ourselves carefully and examine our manner of behaving that others observe. We might be the ones who are in one way or another those weeds. Self-love and pride can blind us to those faults. We ought to take heed of the warning that our Lord gives us. Why seest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and seest not the beam that is in thine own? So let us truly take these parables to heart. Let us resolve to amend our ways if we have led anyone astray, and let us strive by word and example to show them that we have changed our ways and no longer wish to follow that wide and easy path which inevitably leads us to eternal perdition. Let us call upon the Blessed Virgin Mary to pray that our wills may be strengthened, that we may be able to guard against the depraved spirit of the world, the suggestions of the devil. For if we persevere in our good resolutions and the commandments of God, leading others to him by our holiness of life and good example, then surely we will be among the wheat of the field, which will be gently gathered up and stored in the house of our Father who is in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.